As was announced, our scripture reading this morning will be taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. That is Ephesians 1, 1 through 5. And I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will.
Good to be with you this morning. We appreciate everyone's presence here this morning, as we always do each and every week. It's good to have Steve back with us. Appreciate his good song leading. And glad he's back, but I don't know his exact schedule, but I know he'll be traveling a lot here. But good to have him while he is here in the next few months that he'll be traveling. Good to be with all of you, though. We're glad for anyone who is visiting with us, especially your honored guest. And if you have any questions about anything that we say or do, please ask. We'll give you a Bible answer for your Bible question. One sign that we live in a country that maybe has too many luxuries is the many delivery services that we have. And I could mention many different ones, but just take, for an example, Papa John's Pizza. If you want a pizza, all you have to do is call them, and in 20 or 30 minutes or so, you'll have a nice, fresh pizza made to your exact specifications delivered right to your door. You don't have to get in your car and go to the pizza place. You don't have to waste any gas or time doing that. They'll deliver it right to you. But, as I said, there are many different kinds of delivery services anymore. In fact, now through things like Amazon and eBay and things of that nature, you can order something today and it might be out of state. It might even be on the other side of the country, but in just a few days, you'll have it at your house. In fact, if you want to pay the money, you can guarantee that it will be to your house the very next day. And there's even a company called Peapod, I believe it is, where you can sit at your computer and you can grocery shop. They'll deliver your groceries right to your house. You know, I don't think they do this anymore, but you remember the milkman used to bring milk to your house. Now, I don't care what you want. Anything you want from the grocery store, you can get on this particular website and order it. They'll do your shopping and bring it to you. And so we see that these delivery services, certainly it's a lucrative enterprise because we all like to have things delivered. Well, this morning, just for a little while, we want to talk about God's delivery service because he's in the delivery service as well. He has his own business along those lines, only his delivery service is a little different than what I've just been describing. He certainly will deliver stuff to us. There's no doubt about that. James chapter 1, you remember, I think, the verse is 17, where James says that every good and every perfect gift is from above. And he later on in the same epistle said that we have not because we ask not, implying that through the avenue of prayer, God will deliver things to us. Even Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount simply said, ask and it will be given to you. And so God will deliver stuff to us, but not only will God deliver stuff to us, he will deliver us from stuff too, won't he? Psalms 34 and at verse 19, for example, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And we're certainly thankful for that. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 just for a minute. And notice that Paul certainly had confidence in the delivery service of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and a very familiar passage of Scripture beginning at verse 8, Paul simply wrote, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despised of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." And then in verse 10, he says, "He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." And so, again, Paul had confidence in and the delivery service of God, and we should have confidence too. And really for the same reason, because God has delivered us in the past, and he continues to deliver us from certain things right now, and he will, we should have confidence at least, deliver us in the future. And we could talk about that in just in a general way, and we will just a little bit, but I want you to think particularly about deliverance from sin. Because that is something we can be absolutely sure about. That God delivers us, that he has delivered us, that he will continue, if we do the right things, to deliver us from the bondage of sin. But let's look at a few things along those lines this morning. First of all, God has delivered us in the past. And we know that's the case. That has been the case with God's people for a long time. This delivery business of God isn't a new business. It's not one of these startup kind of businesses. He's been in the delivery business for a long time. We're all familiar with the Israelites and how God delivered them from the burden of bondage. We're familiar with stories like Daniel, where God delivered him from the lion's den. Or you might remember Paul and Silas were in that cold dungeon, and God delivered them. He delivered Peter from that prison that he was in. James having been put to death, and everybody knew, the disciples knew that Peter was next. And God, of course, miraculously on that occasion, delivered Peter from that. And so he's been delivering people for a long time. And when it comes down to trouble, we should know that God delivers us too. But again, specifically, he has delivered us from sin. And when you stop and think about it, is there any deliverance any greater than the bondage, than the captivity of sin? No, God didn't deliver us when we were sitting in a jailhouse somewhere. In other words, he didn't deliver us physically from any kind of physical bondage, that is. But he did deliver us from being a hostage to the devil. And we ought to be thankful about that. You remember Colossians chapter 1, and at verse 13 it says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son?" That's a familiar passage to us, but we shouldn't take it for granted, particularly when we think about that power of darkness. I've often said that power of darkness is no joke. When you think about it, it's the power of darkness behind every violation of God's divine will. It's the power of darkness that's behind every wrong and every wrongdoer, behind every crime and every crook. It is this power of darkness that Paul refers to here that's behind every murder, every murderer, every sin that has ever been committed. It's due to this power of darkness. And all of us here this morning, I don't care who you are, all of us used to be knee-deep in this power of sin, this power of darkness. We were all slaves to sin, weren't we? We would all have to admit that. Paul, in another passage, speaks of it. He says, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now is at work in the sons of disobedience." Whether you like it or not, that described all of us. But it doesn't describe us anymore, does it? We used to be dead in trespasses and sins, but we're not anymore because God has delivered us. It could be said, it rightfully and accurately so, that we used to walk according to the course of this world, but we're not taking that course anymore because God has delivered us. By and through the gospel of Christ, He has delivered us. And again, we ought not take that for granted. We shouldn't take the wonderful times when God delivered us from some kind of physical problem. We shouldn't take that for granted either. But when it comes down to sin, we know the end result of sin, don't we? We know the consequences of being a hostage to the devil, being under that bondage, or being a slave to sin. And God delivered us. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that He has. I'm glad He delivered me. I'm glad that His delivery truck came to my neighborhood, stopped at my house, knocked on the door of my life, and I'm glad that I was persuaded to let Him in, because now I'm delivered from the power of darkness, and if you are a Christian, you are too. I know we maybe don't think about it a whole lot. Like, when's the last time you stop and fell on your knees or whatever your posture of prayer might be, and you just thank God for your salvation? You thank God because of who you are and where you are spiritually, and that all of your sins have been taken care of. Do you regularly thank God about that? We ought to. Because what a joy it is that we have been delivered from our sins. And you know, when you stop and think about it, comparing what God has done for us with the kinds of services that I described earlier, of course people are willing to deliver things to your house. You pay for that, don't you? There's a price you have to pay. But when it comes down to God's delivery service, when you were delivered from sin, you didn't pay a thing. The price had already been paid. Paul spoke of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 20. He says, "For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." And I know that you do, but we ought to stop and think about what that price was. For God to deliver us, it wasn't cheap. It cost Him His only begotten Son, His one and only Son. He had to watch and observe as His Son died on Calvary's cross and shed His blood so we could be delivered. Don't take that for granted. Thank God every day that you have been delivered from your past sins. And if you're here this morning, maybe you haven't been delivered yet. Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ yet. You certainly need to take advantage of God's delivery service, don't you? Figuratively speaking, you need to dial up His number. You need to give Him a call. You do that simply by obeying the gospel of Christ. Paul said, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But there's something you have to do with regard to that. There's stipulations involved. If you want God to deliver you, you have to obey the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Again, just comparing that to Amazon or whatever it might be. You want something ordered from them, you have to get online and fill out the form, don't you? Of course, you'll have to give them your credit card information because you have to pay for it. But it won't be just that. They'll want some other information. They'll need to know your physical address. They'll even ask for your email address. And the fact of the matter is, if you don't check all the boxes, if you don't fill in all of the spaces, they're not going to deliver to you. You have to meet the stipulations, the requirements. And why wouldn't we think that's true with God's delivery service? If you want Him to deliver you from sin, you have to meet all of the obligations that He has set forth. You have to check all of the boxes, again, obeying the gospel of Christ. Acts 2 at verse 38, "Repent and be baptized," Peter said, "every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and ye will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Those are the things you have to do. Repent and be baptized. God won't deliver you otherwise. If you'll do what God tells you to do, there's no question that He will deliver you. But you have to surrender yourself to the Lord. When you think of that passage that I had on the screen a while ago, Colossians 1 at verse 13, that word translated in the ESV anyway, it's different words in different translations, but in the English Standard Version, it was translated. I think some translations have transferred. But the Greek word simply means to carry away. And Paul used that, of course, on purpose, because he understood that people could relate to what he was talking about. Whenever a country came in and conquered another nation, they would take the citizenship and carry them away into captivity. But in order for that to happen, that conquered people would have to surrender. Like they could keep on fighting if they wanted to. And many times nations would fight and they would fight to the end. But when you did that, of course, you wouldn't be carried anywhere. You would die on the battlefield. In order to be translated to the new country, you'd have to surrender. And when Paul talked about being translated, he understood, yes, God will carry us to a better country. He'll remove us from the land of the lost into the country of Christianity, but we have to surrender. You have to surrender if you're not a Christian. And you do that, as I've already stated, by obeying the gospel, repenting of your sins and being baptized. You don't have to pay anything. That's not a price you have to pay. The price has already been paid. But you have to meet the stipulations. Are you willing to surrender to God? And you know, another wonderful thing as we're thinking about it, and as we compare God's delivery service to delivery services of this world, there are some places, like if you want a Papa John's pizza, maybe you can get it. Most of you can, but there might be a few of you that can't, because there are some places where those delivery trucks won't go. There are some places that are located in situations they just don't service that particular area. There is no such thing with God's delivery service. His service is unlimited. His service goes everywhere and to everybody. It doesn't matter who you are here this morning. If you want God to deliver you, He'll be willing to do that, because He wants everyone to be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you have to make that call. But no matter who you are, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I hope even today that you'll do the right thing to be delivered if you haven't been already. But then number two, God continues to deliver us in the present. And again, we just recognize from a general standpoint that we can have confidence. And it's a wonderful blessing as a Christian that we have a God who is willing to deliver us from trouble. And He certainly, He does that. Paul in Galatians 1 at verse 4 said, who gave Himself for us, referring to Christ, of course, for our sins, to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. And certainly we live in a world that is very evil even now. This age hasn't gotten any better. It's gotten worse. It's a very nefarious kind of world in which we live. There's danger on every hand. But it is comforting to know that God will deliver us from trouble. And one thing you know, whatever you're going through, and of course in an audience this size, I don't always know what kind of trouble you might be having. And maybe even if you're a member here at Brown Street, it hasn't been reported yet, or you haven't reported it, you don't want people to know about it. You're just going through some kind of trouble. But you know who knows about it? God does. Because He's alert to all of our situations. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, maybe it is family, marital problems, maybe your marriage has gone to something that is full of love to something that's very lonely. Maybe friendship has turned into frustration. Maybe with your home life, maybe your children are disobeying you, or maybe parents are disappointing their children, not fulfilling their obligation as parents. Maybe it's on the jobs and your coworkers are treating you cruelly. Maybe your bosses aren't acting right. Those are things that just happen in a world like this, where there's sin all around us and people are unfair and treat other people unfairly. That's just life. You might be going through trouble. But if you're a Christian, you know God can deliver you from that trouble. And again, this isn't anything new. It's something that God has always done. In Psalms 121, again, at verses 3 and 4, He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel. We're, of course, the Israel of God today. He will neither slumber nor sleep. That's the God we serve. He knows what you're going through. He sees exactly what it is you're struggling with, and he's willing to do something about it. Psalms 50 at verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. God is willing to deliver us. And again, I believe and stand by the fact, I could testify to the fact that God has delivered me over the course of many years. Very often, he has delivered me from real tangible trouble that has invaded my life. But the most important thing is that I know God will deliver me from sin. Because when it comes down to trouble, when you stop and think about it, now God, again, he lends us a helping hand. And there are many, many passages. One passage that you're familiar with talks about God helping is Hebrews 4 at verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many times have you had that passage fulfilled in your life? I think all of us would say many times. But it's a little precarious, isn't it? Like, we don't always know exactly what's going to happen. Listen to me. Sometimes God doesn't deliver us from trouble. Sometimes he allows us to go through difficult things in life because it helps us to grow and it strengthens our faith. And so just like all of you here this morning, I could ask you, could you give me a time when you know God providentially helped you out of a bad situation that almost all of you would say, yes, I remember this time. But you know, I could probably ask you, do you ever remember a time when you had some trouble and you prayed and you weren't delivered from that? And probably you could say, yes, I remember some times like that. But we don't blame God. We don't give up our faith. We understand God knows all things. He knows what's best for us, and he has a reason for doing whatever it is that he does. When he delivers us from trouble, he has a reason. And when he allows us to go through it, he has a reason. And we just put our faith and trust in him. So we don't always know the point of it is. We don't always know when we're going to be delivered. But when it comes down to sin, it's a little more concrete. God delivered us. There's no might or maybe about that. He delivered us from our past sins. And with regard to our sins, even today, he will deliver us if we meet the stipulations. He will set us free from that captivity, from that confinement of sin. He will deliver us. And we shouldn't take that for granted. Just like we shouldn't take for granted the times when God has blessed us physically, we shouldn't take for granted the fact that with regard to our day-to-day sins, if we do the right thing, God delivers us. We should realize how our sins affect God. You ever stop and think about what your sins mean? When you sin against God, it's like spitting in his face. It's like giving him a backhand, slapping him with an insulting slap. But it's even worse than that, really. The Hebrews writer, he sort of helps us with that. You remember over in Hebrews chapter 6 and at verse 4, he says, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away to restore them again to repentance. He's describing the wonderful blessings that we have in Christ. And just take these situations here that he mentions. We could spend a lot of time on this, but those who have been once enlightened, aren't you glad that if you are a Christian now, if you are a child of God, that you have been enlightened? Like you not only know God's will, but you have been enlightened about the real blessedness of having a relationship with God. Paul spoke about it and the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 at verse 18, having your eyes of your hearts enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. If you're a Christian, you know all about that, don't you? Because you've been enlightened. That's one of the real blessings that we have in Christ. He talked about having tasted the heavenly gift. That basically has to do with salvation and the things that pertain to it. Jesus, you remember, and speaking to the woman at the well, he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And we've all drunk from that. Again, those of us who are Christians. We know all about salvation and the blessedness of having our sins forgiven, as we've already talked about. We have drunk the water, the living water. And that's a wonderful blessing. He talks about sharing in the Holy Spirit, and we know that we have the Holy Spirit if we are Christians. He dwells in us through the medium of the Word. But I like this passage that Paul wrote in Romans 8 at verse 26. I don't even understand this passage completely, but he said, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I know that. Like, that is concrete. That is something that the Bible states. And so whether I understand exactly how he does it or not is irrelevant. I know that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We have that because we share in the Holy Spirit. We have tasted the goodness of the Word of God. We know this passage, don't we? The grace of God has appeared. And the grace in this passage basically appears in the form of the Word of God, because that's what teaches us. But the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training or teaching us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passion and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. That's what we have because we have the Word of God. We have an advantage in life, advantage in living, because we have this good Word of God that he talks about, and even the powers of the age to come. Listen, we know a little bit about heaven, because we have a foretaste of it in the church. Isaiah, you remember, in chapter 11, he says some things here that there's a whole lot of people who want to apply this to heaven, because it kind of sounds like something that heaven will be like. He says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And it's a picture of wonderful harmony and peace. And that's talking about heaven. No, it's not. Because Paul, in the book of Romans, Romans 11, I believe it is, or Romans chapter 15 is where it is, he actually takes this passage, and he quotes this passage and applies it to his situation at that time. It's just figuratively describing the peace that passeth understanding, the peace that we have in Christ Jesus, and we have it right now. But it kind of sounds like it'd be something, what heaven's going to be like. Yes, in heaven there's going to be wonderful peace. We get a glimpse of that right now in Christ. We truly have the powers of the age to come. We have experienced a little something. It's just a little bit. It's going to be far greater when we get there, but we have a little bit of it right now. A taste of heaven. And all of these things that the Hebrew writer is enumerating, they're just blessings that we have in Christ. And do you know why we have them? Because Jesus was willing to die for us on Calvary's cross. He was willing to shed his blood for us. And so the Hebrew writer closes it by saying about those who sin willfully, that they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm, holding him up to contempt. Now listen to me. I understand that the Hebrews writer here is talking about those who leave the faith completely. Like, he's really pointing to the Jews who are about to leave Christianity and go back to Judaism. And he's saying that for those individuals, if they go back to Judaism, it will be impossible for them to be restored. They cannot be saved over there. It'd be like us going back to the world. If we go back to the world, out there in the world, there's nothing we can do to be saved. He's not really talking about committing one willful sin. But there is a connection. And I would suggest to you that when we sin willfully against God, we're taking all of those blessings that he enumerates here for granted. And we are figuratively spitting in God's face, but more than that, as he puts it, we are crucifying the Son of God, the King James says, afresh. But you know what? You say, what's the point of it all? The point of it all is this. God is such a wonderful God. His delivery service is so great that even when we do that, he is willing to deliver us. If we do the right things, even after we crucify the Son of God again, even making God relive all of that in our own personal lives, still, he will deliver us from any sin we ever commit because he has a great delivery service. Now, again, we have to meet the stipulation, just like obeying the gospel of Christ, repent and be baptized. In this case, when you sin against God, you're not going to just automatically be forgiven. You have to repent of that sin and ask God for forgiveness. Make up in your mind you're going to start walking in the light once again, that you're not going to dwell in sin. You have to do the right thing. But even after crucifying the Son of God again, God has set you free and deliver you. And that's concrete. It's not a might or a maybe. It's not, you know, he might decide to do that, just like he might deliver me out of some trouble. That I'm... No, when it comes down to sin, you can be sure about it. As sure as all of your past sins haven't been washed away by the blood of Christ, that same blood will wash away any new sin that you repent of. God will deliver you. And again, we ought not take that for granted. Number three, we know because of those past 2 points, and just quickly, God will deliver us in the future. You want to talk about having security in Christ. We have it, not like the Calvinist thing. And not like the once saved, always saved doctrine, but you can have real confidence in your salvation. We're told all the time by Calvinists. So how you all believe, you can't really be sure even that you're going to be saved. Yeah, I can be sure as long as I walk in the light. I can be, well, yeah, but aren't you a sinner? And aren't you going to sin? Yes, but I know in the future when I sin, God's going to deliver me. I know he's going to because he has delivered me from my past sins. He continues to do it today. So I have confidence he'll do it in the future as long as I do my part. Again, 1 John chapter 1, I have to repent. I have to ask God for forgiveness. But what did John say? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. It's not a might or maybe in that situation either. So I know, as I stand before you this morning, I know that if I do the right thing going forward, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I may disappoint God and disappoint myself, but if I don't dwell in that sin and I get up and repent of my sin and start doing right, God will deliver me. Heaven will still be my home. And I'll tell you something else. God will help me along the way. Let me just make a couple of points quickly, and then the lesson will be yours. God will deliver us from the temptation of sin going forward. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter 2 at verse 9? The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Like, temptation is going to come. It comes in all of our life. But God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto punishment for the day of judgment. Now, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I do know something about God. I know God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, whatever that temptation might be. He has the power to do it. He has the willingness to do it. He will do it if I do my part. Another passage that you think of, I think of when I think of it, is 1 Corinthians 10 at verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. Aren't you glad about that? Like, temptation is very real and it is going to come. It's one of the things we have to deal with because the devil is alive and well. And he wants to do everything he can to separate us from God. And so make no mistake about it, he from time to time is going to tempt you. He's going to test you. He's going to try you. He wants you to fail. But God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but will with the temptation, or but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that ye may be able to endure it. That's concrete. No guesswork in that. Whatever you're tempted with in the future, God will give you a way of escape. Do you know who will take that way of escape? The godly. Like, God can't help you if you're not willing to listen to him and take that way of escape. But if you are godly, if you have the right attitude towards God, and you give him respect and you want to please him, and you do all you can to avoid sin and live a godly life, there's no question in the future there'll be a way of escape in any situation or circumstance you find yourself in. You have to take that way of escape, but God will deliver you. And in the end, finally, ultimately, God will deliver us from the presence of sin in heaven. That's the ultimate delivery, isn't it? That's really what God's delivery service leads to in the end, heaven. And in heaven, we won't ever have to worry about sin again. We'll be delivered from sin in an absolute sense. Can you imagine how wonderful that's going to be? I said earlier in the lesson that the power of darkness is behind every sin that has ever been committed. That's right. And behind all of those sins that have been committed, it's all of the heartache, all of the tears, all of the problems and troubles of life can be traced back to the presence of sin in society. But in heaven, there'll be no sin. There'll be no trace of it. God will have completely delivered us from the presence of sin again in an absolute sense. I'm glad for God's delivery service. Let me tell you, I'm glad when God delivers me from trouble in this life. I don't like going through trouble, do you? I don't like it when my life isn't going the way I want it to go, or something invades my existence and gives me trouble. I don't like that at all. And I'm thankful when God delivers me from that. But I'm far more grateful that he has delivered me from sin. He can call me his child now. I can be in fellowship with him, and I'm glad that he continues to deliver me when I sin, and I can have confidence he'll do it in the future. Thank God for his delivery service. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. That means you haven't been delivered. You haven't been translated from outside of Christ to inside of Christ. But you can be translated this very morning. Why not obey the gospel? We've already told you how. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. You may not have another opportunity, but you have right now. Come forward as we together stand and sing. Troublesome times are